So, we're back. Last time we saw that God created male and female and blessed them and wanted them to enjoy sexual intimacy. He connected it to reproduction.
Right.
And it's in the marriage worldview, clearly. And that, so here
they're
in this garden.
For pleasure.
Intended for pleasure.
In this garden.
So they're in this garden of pleasure. God wants you and I to experience goodness, pleasure, joy. He made us for that.
Okay.
Like we would want that for our own children. God wanted that for us.
Yep.
However, an enemy of God, a fallen angel, shows up into the garden and tests them at the foundational level. So,
all right.
Satan appeals to lusting for more. He appears. It's really interesting in the role of the intimate advisor. Better food, better opportunities, better pleasure, and God is limiting your pleasure.
Oh, yeah. Genesis 3, verse 1, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?'"
Okay, so I want to just reflect on that. I mean, that is like something that appears many times in the Bible in different places, like in the story of Jonadab and David's son Ammon. So I want you to look that up. It's in 1st or 2nd Samuel, but this is a ministry class, so
right.
You know, look it up. Jonadab. And it's an area too where it's sort of like Jonadab becomes an intimate advisor to the king's son Ammon.
Right. And when describing him, it calls him subtle, just like the serpent is
crafty,
subtle.
Right.
He knew how to,
exactly.
He was subtle. He knew how to twist words.
Right. And notice what he says: "Did God really say you must not eat from any trees in the garden?" So God is, positioned as this person who is like the, over controlling creator of the world.
Right. He's limiting you. Yeah.
Right.
Too much.
Right. He's limiting too much.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So Eve dialogued with a lusting for more. God did place a limit. One tree was forbidden. Genesis 3, verse 2 through 3. "The woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die.'"
Okay, so and it's interesting. You must not touch it. It's even like,
she adds to his
forbidden
command.
It's the forbidden tree, or you will die. So you can see that there was a little bit even in Eve's case here, and this is still how it comes for us today. Like, the adolescent child who, if you say something to that child, it's like they take it like, "Oh, you are just ruining my life."
Right.
So Eve comes off like,
he's really limiting us. I can't
I can't even touch it. So in the intimate advisor, Satan comes in and calls attention to, all of these things.
Yeah. All right. So Satan has enlightenment for her. Genesis 3, verse 4. "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil."
You know, that word yada is that it's like this core confidence in yourself. He's trying to say no.
You're going to know, like, you're going to be like God.
And actually, what he's really saying is that God is forbidding you of what
he's holding back from
of
that.
What
yeah.
is higher than everything, enlightenment.
Yeah.
That you will, he has enlightenment you don't have, and you're going to get it. Mm-hmm. So, it's a very crafty way to go.
Yep. So, one, your pleasure and sexual intimacy will be more.
Okay, and we know he's talking about sexual intimacy because in Genesis chapter 2, we're seeing Moses comment, a man will leave his father and mother. So some people have said, sexuality is not even mentioned in chapter 3. How do we know it connects? Well, we know it connects because of the context. In chapter 2, we hear it is about sexual intimacy. We hear it's about naming the animals. It's being a steward. It's about, all of that. Mm-hmm. Those are all issues in there. Yeah. So it does connect.
Yes, it does. 2, your eyes will be open to more. 3, your power will be more. And 4, your knowledge will be more.
Will be more. Mm-hmm.
Well, even Adam see the possibilities. Genesis 3, verse 6 through 7. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves.
Notice too.
Yeah, that realized.
Is a yada.
Yada.
They. Enlightenment.
Yeah. So the first implication mentioned is the implication to their sexual identity. First thing they knew is
yada.
That their sexual identity was different.
Mm, so all their enlightenment immediately
realized they were naked. Shame was introduced to their sexual intimacy, and the first enterprise was making the coverings.
So, textiles, first thing. Well, it is so fascinating. The yada of knowing good and evil, the first thing they then know is shame. And we would say that is our common experience.
Yeah.
Everybody gets that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know there's some people who try to, work through that. There's, even things like nudist colonies and stuff like that. But there's always, something that we know something is broke.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Then coveting more pleasure, a central characteristic of the fall. So their sexual intimacy was moving from oneness with another person to erotic pleasure itself. More dopamine for our senses, taste and sight. More dopamine for our thinking, desirable for enlightened insights to be like God.
Okay, so later on in this class, we're going to deal into the weeds about this dopamine receptors and responders.
Right, and give a little.
Yeah, I'll give a little, just a real little, I'll give more, but I'll give introduction now. So essentially, when Adam and Eve fell into sin, they're understand the pleasure itself, the pleasure of knowledge, the pleasure of naming, the pleasure of getting things done, the pleasure of sexual intimacy. Their brains fell into where pleasure itself, they would not only know good pleasure, and many of us can understand good pleasure, but they would also know evil pleasure. And that introduced the fall, and it affected everybody, every way, and who they are as a created being was so dramatically altered. And again, we get that because our dopamine responders, which we're going to talk about later, were affected. We have distorted senses of pleasure, and that could be for eating, that could be for addictions, that could be in our work, all these things like greed and all these other things. So it's like sexual sin is not the essence of the fall. And some in the third and fourth century of the Catholic Church believe that, influenced by the Greek Gnosticism, no, that's not the essence. It's we're all completely fallen. All have fallen and fall short of the glory of God. But we can't underestimate that our brains, we know evil and we know good at a different level today. Mm-hmm. So this was a fall that was pervasive through our entire being. That's the all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
Mm-hmm. God shows up, innocence lost. Genesis 3, verses 8.
8 to 8.
It might be 7 to 8. Anyway. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?"
Instead, he was hiding among the trees.
Hiding among the trees. Now they had fallen pleasures, and people still do this.
Yes,
hiding in the trees. God is seeking us, and we hide ourselves in the trees of the garden. And where are you? God asked us.
You know, I think that's one of the things I loved about Ray Vanderlaan, and we did this trip together in Israel. And I believe as ministers, these looking for those moments where we're reading scripture, and then there's a moment like this. Where are you? Okay. And this is not just a question for Adam and Eve, but it's a question for every human. Where are you? Are you hiding in the bushes right now from God?
Right.
And many people are hiding in the bushes. And when you find them playing hide and seek from God, as a minister, this is your opportunity to introduce them to God, who asks them, "Where are you?" Because they're hiding in the bushes. So it's just, I love that. And
right.
Ray Vanderlaan would do that.
Of course, God knows where they are.
Yeah.
As we well know from our knowledge of the scriptures.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
No, but they think they're hiding from him. So he says, "Okay, so where are you?" You
know? Right. And we often think we're hiding from each other.
Yeah.
And what are you hiding from right now? And what are you disqualifying you in the life that God has given you because we're hiding?
Right.
I often find that the thing is our journey together. What we hide on and don't want to talk about and we just, bury are those things that keep us in the bushes.
Right, right.
But when we, confess our sins or confess to one another or talk about things in Jesus Christ, all of a sudden we get to come out of the bushes.
Right.
And shame is put away.
Right. They are hiding for some reason, and they're naked.
Hmm. Hold it. I got to ask a question. Didn't we just read?
They made covering.
The covering for themselves?
Yes, we did.
So they made covering for themselves. I've thought about, so here's something I'll share about our life. So, our life is very busy, as you could well understand. And sometimes when we go to bed at night, we'll have a little prayer and devotions and such. But our mind is still active. So we have a little app.
Right.
That we, from pray.com, it's an app, and then it reads scripture. So one of the ones that we like is the Genesis app.
Yeah, is chapters 1 through 4.
Right, chapters 1 through 4. And we probably listen to this hundreds of times now. And sometimes if we're really wound up, we'll make it all the way through chapter 4.
Yeah.
But a lot of times we'll only make it through like chapter 3, and then we're dozing off. But it's been interesting. So I've been reflecting as I've been listening to it night after night, the same thing. Because you got to keep it the same thing so you don't, like, all think it's your mind. The other day I tried the 2 Samuel, the Jonadab one, and I heard that. And the next thing you know, my mind's all awake and I'm thinking, it actually made me stay up longer as I was thinking about stuff.
Well, maybe you were supposed
to. I was supposed to. I'm okay with that. I get that. It's okay. I get it. So in this Genesis, that's really where it struck me in one of those nights as I was just sort of listening and where it's like, they made coverings for themselves, and now all of a sudden, God shows up, and
they're naked again.
And they're naked,
right?
What's that about? So,
In Genesis 3 verses 10 through 11a, he answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked?"
Hmm. Were they indulging in fallen pleasure right there? What? Adam's covering was off, and he felt guilty about it. What was he doing? What were they doing? Now, again, I don't want to speculate anything because, I never really thought of it that way. And here's something, too, as I've been listening to it. We don't know if a year had passed, 10 years had passed, or the next day. It could have been hours.
Minutes,
it could have been
2 hours.
But as I begin to reflect upon the theology of the entire Bible, looking back on the complete fall of Adam and Eve, I'm not surprised to think that when they got enlightened, it was a complete rebellious moment where the fall into sin was, they went possibly, again, grant you a little speculation here, but they possibly went into the evil pleasure because they were enlightened to do it. And, I mean, if you're going to get a Ferrari, in their mind, that's what they got, they were taking test rides in what that meant. I mean, and when God shows up, what were they doing? Where were they taking that Ferrari at that moment? I don't know.
Right.
Again, it's just hearing this, hundreds of times, mm-hmm. every little detail, they did make coverings, and then the coverings are off, and when God shows up, they're not covered.
Right. So, yeah, some time has passed a bit.
Yes. We're not sure what they did.
Right. Like a cheater caught in an affair. Genesis 3, verses 11 through 13. And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it." Then the Lord said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate."
Okay, so let's stop there. I find it interesting the blaming goes on.
Right.
And is that still the case today?
Right.
So,
no, it was that person.
Yeah. Well, and so we're having now, there's some injury going on. Somebody injured somebody.
Right.
And that's talked about. And we understand injury. And we know the tendency is I can look back at my past and say that whatever struggle I've had with porn, it's related to that, addict. And where were the parents of that kid who had newspapers there, and then the neighbors, and you could start getting that quickly.
Right.
Like, I don't have to take responsibility for this because something? It wasn't my fault.
Right. It was, yeah. Yeah.
That is a tendency that we have mm-hmm. in mm-hmm. our sinful nature, not just on, of course, sexual things, but sin itself.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. My parents were like this, and that happened there. This happened to me, it's like this.
Right.
And we see right away this tendency, and then we read.
Okay, and then this is not from the passage.
No.
Now these are some questions to think about. What were they doing in the bushes when God showed up? Adam and Eve were caught uncovered. Shame was the first thing addressed by God. And blaming starts then, including all three characters. The serpent was there too.
What do you make of that? I find it's like they're found hiding in the bushes or doing something in the bushes, and then the serpent is there too.
Right.
Because the very next passage we're going to talk about next,
well, next
God immediately
verse.
Addresses all three of them. So in a sense, God
verses.
Catches
yeah.
all three yep. of them in some shameful
they're
sin.
They're all there, yeah.
Yes.
Mm.
Right. I mean, again, we don't want to speculate
right.
anything beyond that. Although, later when we get to Leviticus, we realize that fallen sexual pleasure obviously
right.
can be pretty fallen because we're gonna,
right.
it's going to even
talk
about... Right,
some of the laws that the Lord gave
yes.
to guide.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So, God judges all three parties involved.
Sorry.
Genesis 3, verse 13 through 19. And in those verses, the serpent is cursed. It becomes a snake. The devil continues his fight with God. The devil is our enemy now. Jesus will defeat the work of the devil. Pain enters into childbearing for women. Men are given the responsibility to lead their homes. Work would be hard, and there would be no tree of life or garden of Eden for Adam and Eve.
Hmm. So all three parties are addressed right there,
yep.
and this actually sets up the plan of salvation. So let's conclude what we've seen here.
All right. God created sexual intimacy and pleasure to be experienced in marriage and the marriage worldview. God hardwired the seeking of sexual intimacy and pleasure in every human. The fall of Adam and Eve shows that Adam and Eve were introduced to good and evil pleasures. They wanted more, and this is the fallen tendency that affects our pleasure centers. We want more food, money, wisdom, and or sexual pleasure, or anything you could probably name. We need a redeemer to be saved and sanctified to a new life.
And we know in this story that Adam and Eve are thrown out of the Garden of Pleasures, of the Garden of Eden, and an angel blocks the way so that they wouldn't eat of the tree of life. And we don't know all of what if they would have ran over the tree of life when God didn't show up yet, or could they have done it? You know, we can speculate on all of those things, but we don't know the answer to that. But we know that Jesus came into this world, and we have access to the tree of life.
Jesus is the way. John 14, verse 6, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
This is a great ministry verse. Mm-hmm. Because when I think about us as ministers, as couple ministers, ordained to serve the Lord together, I think it's all about us getting people back into the garden of God's pleasure and getting people to that tree of life, Jesus Christ.
Right.
And I think of, you know, when I hear all of the stories and all of people's hurts, and I know this enlightenment, this yada, fallen yada, I know inside myself what havoc it creates, but I also know this havoc is being created everywhere. And I know what God has done in our life, how he has renewed us and is renewing us. And I also know it's because that we are eating of the tree of life and we have communion. We are eating of the tree of life. You know, eat, believe, drink, and eat. This is my body. This is my blood shed for you for the complete remission of all of our sins. And as ministers, this is what we introduce to people. We introduce the tree of life. Eat of the tree of life. And now, it's going to have a lot of implications. There's going to be a lot to talk about. There's a lot of discipleship that will happen through the power of the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of confession. There's a lot of future. But we are not defeated. You know, I think too often in the church, we've looked at the fall and sort of had, well, in the area of sex, we're just not going to talk about it. It's fallen, and hopefully you get married, and hopefully in marriage you just figure it out because, you know what, we don't even want to talk about it.
Right.
But what we miss then is the redemptive transformational.
Right.
Let's talk about it, and let's not hide in the bushes on it. Mm-hmm. Hiding in the bushes is not going to do anybody any good.
Mm-mm.
Instead, let's get out of the bushes and say, we are broken people, crackpots that are beaten, not destroyed. We carry around the death of Jesus. We partake of his body and blood, that the life of Jesus may be revealed through our bodies. And that's ministry. So, you know, in some ways, when I think about the fall of humanity, you know, sometimes it can be so depressing, but this is not depressing because we know that the head of the serpent has been crushed when Jesus' work and ministry and resurrection, and that the ministry of the church is to share this to everyone. So, yeah, it's kind of a positive thing to think about, that we are part of the ministry of reconciliation, of fallen humanity back to God, and how he intends us to be is something that we can move toward through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.